Saintcast number 81.
Sie lose der Saintcast auf SQPN. Die beste katholische Podcast.
You are tuned to the Saintcast. They yearn for holiness, intimacy with God. They have a humility of heart and love of their brethren. They persevere in prayer. They live lives of great charity and heroic virtue. They are the saints. Welcome, everybody, to the Saintcast. I hope you're still there. This is Paul Camerata here in Overland Park, Kansas, for Saintcast number 81. And a great Advent to you. A very happy, holy Advent. I have been absent from the airwaves or the podcast waves for the past couple of weeks, pretty much since Thanksgiving. And I'll tell you a little bit about that. And I have also missed other podcasts going on. I hope you all have kept caught up and that the SQPN network has helped you go into your Advent holidays with a renewed sense for the longing for Christ coming at this special time of the year. Hey, thanks again for tuning into the Saintcast. I can't tell you how much I have missed being here at the microphone for the Saintcast, both for your sake and for my sake, because as I've always said, this is a place where we learn all about those who have gone before us and gained their heavenly reward. Those saints, we're on the Saintcast, where we tell you all about the heavenly connection, or where we are your heavenly connection to the saints. And so I learn a ton by doing this as well. But the last few weeks have been, busy, troppo occupato. I have been incredibly busy, not only with work, but with family, friends. I have some of you who will follow, who were following me a few weeks ago, you follow on Twitter, will note that I was training for a marathon, the Tulsa Marathon. I was going to go meet Steve from the On The U podcast down in Tulsa to do 26.2, and I tore the medial head of my gastroc, and in lay terms, that is, I tore part of my calf muscle bounding out of my house to go to work one morning. I mean, you know you're getting old when you take a few steps and bam, like an ice pick in my calf. So I had to postpone that run, and now I'm searching for another marathon to try and get ready for in the spring. Well, I wanted to thank Bettina for that special greeting in Swiss German at the outset of the Saintcast, and another cool email I got that I just had to share with you. Dear Paul, your podcast about the saints is very inspiring, and may your work in all fields be blessed. I'm a minister of the National Church of Iceland, which is Lutheran Evangelical. Your podcast has helped me understand a lot about the Catholic faith. It's given me the hope and desire that all of God's children will someday and somehow be united into one. After I was ordained in 2002, I traveled all over Iceland to work temporarily, where the ministers had to take a leave, study leave, paternity, maternity leaves, or sick leaves. In the Westfjords of Iceland, there are quite a lot of Catholic immigrant workers, and I got to know some of the fathers that sometimes come there to service their flock, and they were always more than welcome to use our churches. They were very friendly, and they always called me Father, which is not common among Lutherans, but I took it as a compliment. He goes on to state he's got children of his own. Having children has helped him better understand and minister to the children of my parishes. My traveling days are over, and I am a minister in a small village of Skagastrand and surrounding farms responsible for 772 souls. Isn't that cool? And he says, I've just finished listening to most of the old Saintcast episodes and await each new one. I was deeply moved by the story on Maximilian Kolbe. He's definitely my favorite. In your intro to the Saintcast episodes, you like to welcome the listeners with foreign greetings. Welcome in Icelandic is velkomin, but a radio show host would most likely say komidi blessud, which would simply translate to blessed as you come or blessed as you come. The most common greeting in Iceland is simply blessadur if greeting a man and blessud if greeting a woman. And it simply means be blessed. Keep up the good work, Fjolnir Asbjornsson. I hope I've pronounced that right, Fjolnir, Lutheran minister in Iceland. Isn't that incredibly cool? The Saintcast has reached Iceland, and Maximilian Kolbe is Fjolnir's favorite saint from a Lutheran minister. Thanks so much for writing, and I appreciate any feedback that you all send me. Even though I don't read all of it on the air, it really forms the Saintcast and helps me keep coming up with ideas on new saints to present. And since this is about saints, and it's been a while since we've talked about saints, before getting into the meat of the show, let's of course talk about our saints in the Roman Catholic calendar this coming week. Well, just a couple of days ago, this past Sunday, was the feast in North America of St. Juan Diego, who was born in 1474. Most of you know the story of Juan Diego. He was born just north of Tenochtitlan, which was Mexico City, currently, on December 9th, 1531. Now, try and place that time, if you would, in what we know of much of Western culture. At that point in time, that was 4 years before Thomas More was to be executed on the Tower Bridge by Henry VIII for failing to acquiesce to the king as head of the church in England and sign the oath. At this very time, Erasmus of Rotterdam was living. Martin Luther was alive. Michelangelo and the Medicis were in Florence. So while all of this was happening, one December day, Juan Diego rose before dawn to walk 15 miles to his daily mass in what is now Mexico City. He lived a simple life. It was said he was a farmer, a weaver, and a laborer. Though that morning, as he passed Tepeyac Hill, he heard music and saw a glowing cloud encircled by a rainbow. A woman's voice called to him atop the hill. There he saw a beautiful young woman dressed like an Aztec princess. She said she was the Virgin Mary and asked Juan to tell the bishop to build a church on that site. She said, "I vividly desire that a church be built on this site so that in it I can be present and give my love, compassion, help, and defense, for I am your most devoted mother." The bishop was kind but skeptical when Juan presented this idea before him. He asked Juan to bring proof of the lady's identity, but before he could go back to the lady, he found out his uncle was dying and he was hurrying to get a priest. He missed his meeting with the lady, which was to be, of course, the next day. The lady, however, met him on his path and told him, "Don't be afraid, your uncle has been cured. He is not ready to die at this time." And then she told Juan to climb to the top of the hill, the first place they met, and he was shocked to find flowers growing in the frozen soil. These were Castilian roses, which were not grown in Mexico at the time. He gathered them in his cloak, took them at once to the bishop, and when he told the bishop what had happened and opened his cloak, the bishop's eyes were on the glowing image of Our Lady imprinted inside his cloak. Soon afterwards, a church was built on that site, on the site where Our Lady had appeared to Juan Diego, and thousands upon thousands converted to Christianity. Our Lady of Guadalupe was declared the patroness of the Americas. Juan died on May 30th, 1548, at the age of 74. And that was Sunday's saint. Monday's saint, Pope St. Gregory III. Gregory was the son of a Syrian named John. He became a priest in Rome in the mid-700s, and his reputation for holiness and virtue were so great that he was acclaimed the new pope even in the midst of the funeral procession of his predecessor, Gregory II. After he was proclaimed pope, the emperor at the time, Leo II, attacked the veneration of holy images called iconoclasm. And because Leo II thought that the honor paid to Jesus, Mary, and the saints by keeping statues and icons around was idolatry, he condemned them and wanted them to be destroyed. And that movement has a title in history. It was called iconoclasm. Gregory III, however, immediately sent a letter to Leo, and instead, Gregory called a synod that approved strong measures against anyone who would try and destroy any of the saintly images or images of Jesus and Mary. The emperor, of course, responds by attempting to capture Gregory and bring him to Constantinople. However, a storm destroyed Leo's ships. So the emperor says, I'll get back at him somehow, and he seized papal lands in Calabria and Sicily and transferred the ecclesiastical jurisdiction of those areas to the east. Gregory also supported the missionary activities of St. Boniface in Germany and sent St. Willibald to assist him. He also completed the building of the walls built around Rome by his predecessor. That was Pope St. Gregory III. Tuesday Saint, St. Damasus. St. Damasus was probably of Spanish origin and was elected pope in a bitterly contested election in 366, and he was then faced with an anti-pope, Ursinus. There was opposition, of course. These two factions fought with great cruelty. In one battle, 137 people were killed. Damasus sent representatives to Constantinople in 381, which condemned Arianism and denounced the teaching of Macedonius that the Holy Spirit was not divine. During his pontificate, this of Pope St. Damasus, St. Jerome lived. Jerome was actually his secretary, and he was his patron. It was at his request that St. Jerome began the biblical commentaries, translation of the Bible, the Vulgate. He also was responsible for restoring a number of the catacombs and shrines and the tombs of the martyrs, encouraging pilgrimages to them. He died in Rome on December 11, 384. Wednesday's feast here in America, Our Lady of Guadalupe. Missionaries who first came to Mexico with the conquistadors had little success in the beginning. After nearly a generation, there were only a few hundred native Mexicans that had converted to the Christian faith. Whether or not they simply did not understand what the missionaries had to offer, or whether they resented these people who made them their slaves, Christianity was not popular among the native people. And it was in this context that Our Lady of Guadalupe made herself known to the Mexican people. It's believed the word Guadalupe was actually a Spanish mistranslation of the local Aztec dialect. The word that Mary probably used was Cotlalope, which means one who treads on snakes. Within 6 years of the apparition of Our Lady of Guadalupe, 6 million Aztecs had converted to Catholicism. The tilma shows Mary as the God-bearer. She is pregnant with her divine son. Since the time the tilma was first impressed with a picture of the Mother of God, it's been subject to a variety of environmental hazards, including smoke from fires and candles, water from floods, downpours. There was even a bomb planted in 1921 underneath this, on an altar underneath it. And there was a cast iron cross next to the tilma. When the bomb exploded, the cross was twisted entirely out of shape. The altar railing was heavily damaged, and the tilma was miraculously untouched. Thursday's saint, Saint Lucy, Santa Lucia. If you listen to an old saint cast from last year, we talked about Saint Lucy. We don't really have that reliable of a history of this holy woman from the late 3rd and 4th centuries. We do know that she died in the persecution of Christians in the early 4th century in Syracuse, Sicily. Her name means light. Think of the word lucid, clear, understandable. And by the 6th century, her veneration had spread to Rome. The legend we know of is a young virgin who refused to marry a suitor arranged for her by her mother. Lucy prayed long and hard at the tomb of Saint Agatha in Catania, whom we've profiled on a previous Saintcast, and her mother's illness was cured. The suitor, however, her erstwhile husband, did not forgive her and denounced her to Diocletian as a Christian. They attempted to send her to a brothel. When they came to take her, legend said she was stiff and heavy as a mountain. They ordered her burned, but she would not succumb to that either. Finally, they stabbed her in the throat, and she died. One tradition has her eyes being torn out by a judge, and that's why she is seen in some paintings holding a dish with two eyes on it. Her name played a large part, certainly, in naming Lucy patron of those with eye troubles. Whatever the facts to the legends, the truth is that her courage to stand up and be counted as a follower of Christ in spite of torture and death were certainly heroic. St. John of the Cross, Friday Saint. John of the Cross, who lived 1542 to 1591. He was born in Old Castile, Spain. And John, we're going to have to devote a special Saint cast to John of the Cross, perhaps even later this week before his feast day. He became a Carmelite in 1563, taking the name Juan de Santo Matia, ordained in 1567. He met another future saint, Teresa of Avila in Medina, when he said he was thinking of becoming a Carthusian monk to embrace a life of deeper solitude and prayer. She convinced him to remain a Carmelite and join in her reform of the order, the Discalced Carmelites. In 1568, John and four others founded the first men's house of the reform. He took the name John of the Cross. And in 1572, he became spiritual director of Teresa's Convent of the Incarnation at Avila. I know we've got a number of very special of people out there who listen to the Saintcast to whom the Carmelites are very special. I welcome any of your comments on John of the Cross. There was dissension between the orders, resulting in John being imprisoned in 1577. After 9 months, he escaped by unscrewing the lock on his door and creeping past his guard, taking only poetry that he had written in his cell, and he climbed out a window made by a rope made by blankets. He followed a dog, eventually, the story goes, to civilization. He hid from his pursuers in a convent, and from then on, his life was devoted to sharing and explaining his experience of God's love. He left us many books of very practical spiritual advice. They include The Ascent of Mount Carmel, The Dark Night of the Soul, and A Spiritual Canticle of the Soul and Bridegroom Christ. John of the Cross. And finally, Saturday Saint, Saint Christiana, otherwise known as Saint Nino, a saint of the 4th century, who was a captive slave and is the patron saint of Georgia, of the former USSR. She impressed those around her with her prayers, virtue, and miracles that she wrought, which were performed through her by Christ, she said. She cured the queen of illnesses. She aided the king on a hunting expedition, and then the two of them took instructions from her and were converted to Christianity. She requested bishops from Constantine, or the king requested these bishops then, and converted the entire people. She became a hermitess then on the slopes of a mountain at Bodbe in Cacteri and died at that time. She is buried in the Cathedral of Mischeta, and her story has been translated into many Eastern languages and was first told by Rufinus. So those are the saints this week on the Roman Catholic calendar.
This is Jeff Miller, the Kurt Jester from SplendorOfTruth.com, and you're listening to the Saintcast on SQPN, the best in Catholic podcasting.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Now we've got our special feature for this episode. This is a sound-seeing tour of a basilica in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Some of you have asked about this, and I will have some special pictures from my tour of the Basilica of St. Josaphat. You recall Jumpin' Josaphat? We talked about this famous Orthodox saint, or an Orthodox Roman, how do we say, someone who wanted to maintain the union, to restore the union between the Orthodox and the Roman Church, St. Josaphat from Poland, and took a visit to Milwaukee when I was up there with my family this past summer. I always have my MP3 recording device with me, and if you'll indulge me, I'll give you a little taste of what it was like to walk through this very holy place.
Okay, here we are, guys. Driving around Milwaukee.
There it is.
What's the sign saying?
Danger blasting zone.
I think we're a little too close to the harbor here. Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District. I think we took a wrong turn somewhere.
All right, got it.
You guys take a look to the west. The clouds look pretty ominous.
Foreboding. Coming from the west, possibly.
Karen, looks like we're going to abandon the attempt at seeing a park. Unless people want to get soaked.
Our lives are at risk, listeners. I hope you know.
That's not true. I'm in complete control.
Our lives are at risk.
Okay, who wants to go back to the Italian district? Have some cavolo. Prosciutto. Mozzarella. Somehow I think we might find Jimmy Hoffa down here. Turn around and go down that road over there.
St. Mary's Cement Incorporated. It is Jimmy Hoffman.
St. Mary's Cement Incorporated.
The badger plant.
All right.
I didn't know they made plants out of badgers.
Where some other cars are.
Look, I see a steeple.
Look, I see some graffiti.
Two steeples.
So let's drive north around along the shore, and
there's
then
a car.
We will.
They're following us.
Karen, that's what I just tried, and we ended up in, you know, the docks. Lincoln Memorial Drive. Will that help me?
I think that car's following us because they just did a U-turn behind us.
How about Lake Parkway?
Yes, Lincoln Memorial Drive is where you want to be.
Okay.
Going north.
Now look at downtown Milwaukee. Isn't that beautiful? Covered by fog, clouds.
Does anybody want to take it? Because you've already said that. Does anybody want to get out and take it? Okay, now listen.
Wait, haven't we done this before?
We've done this before.
We've been exactly down this road before. I don't see Lincoln Memorial Drive anywhere. Port of Milwaukee. Oh, boy. We are. I think that is Lincoln. Look, it says Lincoln Drive.
Lincoln Memorial Drive.
Okay, where are we here, guys? Okay, I'm sorry.
Basilica of St. Josaphat.
Correct. Thank you, Gina. This is the Basilica of St. Josaphat in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
El barrio.
It's, yeah, kind of in the barrio, but it's a beautiful, beautiful day.
Hola.
In this wonderful... thank you. This wonderful city right across from... El Salvador restaurant, how appropriate, right across from the church, the Savior. All right. It's a very large church built in the style of
St. Peter's,
they say.
It
is a Franciscan friary associated with it. I'm not sure which Franciscan friars are here, but we will see. Very large exterior.
Oh, very large.
Actually, this church was built from the destroyed ruins of a building in Chicago that they demolished at the turn of the century, and then they built this church, I believe, around the turn of the century, something like 1905, from pieces of this large building in Chicago that were hauled up here. And I'll get that the name of that building for you shortly. This little plaque outside the basilica says, "This magnificent temple of faith is a monument of faith erected by Polish immigrants at the close of the 19th century. raised to the dignity of a minor basilica in 1929 by Pope Pius XI, was the third church in the U.S. to be so honored. Its beauty reflects both the majesty of God and the devotion of its parishioners. And passing us now on the street, La Michoacana. What does that mean? La Michoacana?
Michigan.
Like the Michigan man.
Okay, and he's selling, what is he, selling ice cream or something?
Yeah, he thinks we want something.
Okay, the bells are ringing, but we've got to go into church, sorry. Communion in 45 minutes, so we can come out afterwards. Maybe he'll be here then.
Get a large ice cream cone.
Walking up the stairs at the entrance now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 gigantic marble columns over the portico. Some beautiful wooden doors. We're about to set foot in the church now. Pardon me? Little renovation there. Oh my gosh, look at this gorgeous. Well, they've now turned the lights off in the dome. The dome is surrounded at the bottom by a saying in Polish. I'll see if I can figure out that. I'm sorry, I do speak a couple of languages, but Polish is not one of them.
I'm from Poland.
From Poland.
Oh. And it's Polish, everything.
Yes, everything's
here.
Polish in here. That's great. What does it say in Polish, you know, around the dome in there? I don't remember.
You want to translate this?
Yes. Oh, okay.
Go in.
Thank you so much. I don't want to detain you if you need to go somewhere.
No, I come in with my cousin here.
So. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, what do we start? Where do you want to start?
Oh, maybe somewhere here.
Okay, 1 second.
Maybe it starts on the other side. I don't know.
Imię, that's name.
Uh-huh.
Moje, my. Było, was. And a few hundred years or something like it. And future. Now, go. Was working like I and my heart. That's for wszystkie. That's me for every year. And that's one part. Because this was something started a different way.
Just looking at the beautiful stained glass windows in the sanctuary. Is lined with marble, the marble altar of sacrifice, flanked with multicolored marble columns, and then a large baldacchino over the tabernacle, and written across the front in large gold letters, Ecce tabernaculum Dei cum hominibus. Behold the dwelling place of God, together with man, with humankind. And behind the baldacchino, the canopy, the large canopy, there are paintings or frescoes on the wall of what looks like a priest with a halo around his head, and he's being attacked viciously. Looks like there's a man with an axe, and I would presume that this is Saint Josaphat. He's wearing the chasuble of a priest, which is red and would symbolize martyrdom, and so that's why I believe this is likely Saint Josaphat. Appears to be some battle ensuing, and of course Saint Josaphat did die a martyr's death, and as we'll talk about, his body was found incorrupt after being disposed of and thrown into a gully. Above the baldacchino, it's topped by a red, sort of backlit little cupola at the very top, and then a dome above that with a beautiful stained glass window and a painting of a celestial background. Looks like God, the Blessed Virgin, Christ. Over to the left, we have an altar. Classic architecture. It appears to be Jesus showing his Sacred Heart to a woman kneeling before him. And above it, Jesus' Sacred Heart, red and wrapped with a thorn, a crown of thorns. I'm not sure who this would be, but it could be the French sister who originated the first Friday devotion. I'm blanking on her name, St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, perhaps, at the moment. And as we move around to the left a bit more, there's another altar with a painting, an iconic representation of Our Lady of Guadalupe beneath a statue of Mary, crowned queen, holding the infant Jesus. All of this in white marble, gilded with gold brocade around the gowns. Another very striking statue, just a beautiful statue of St. Francis to the left of the main altar. Francis in his habit, tonsured, and gold brocade around the hem. And then to the right, a similar statue of St. Anthony of Padua. The Stations of the Cross on each side of the main sanctuary, seven on one side and seven on the other, are named in Polish. Again, this being a Polish sanctuary originally, Polish church. Now I'm at the right of the altar with a number of votive candles before a depiction of, I'm certain this is Our Lady of Shostakova, the Black Madonna. Again, a beautiful representation of her wearing a gown with the fleur-de-lis on it, dark blue, holding the infant Jesus as well. And this portrait is displayed in front of a large altar that is set into the wall, white altar with some green marble columns, and in the center of it is Mary being announced to by the angel Gabriel, with the Holy Spirit coming down and shining a ray of light upon her at the Annunciation. Beneath the altar, the gold letters BVM superimposed on each other, Beata Virgine Mater. My two children here.
Sir, I don't know
you. This is a sanctuary. My daughter has a hood on and my son has his sunglasses on, trying to make sure they're not seen with me. Frescoes around the top of the sanctuary illustrating the life of St. Francis. Having been to the Basilica in Assisi, we see a representation of St. Francis at Gubbio, taming the wolf at Gubbio. We see Francis presenting the order to, I can't remember if it was Innocent or Honorius, I believe it was Innocenzo III, I believe. We see Francis receiving the stigmata with the crucifix flying above him, a representation of what looks like Francis, meaning a Dominican friar. Perhaps it's Thomas Aquinas. I'm not sure that ever happened, but I need to read up on my saintly history. And then a representation of Francis in the first creche. Of course, Francis being the one that actually set up the first nativity scene. At the back of church here, there is a little bronze representation of Arnolfo da Cambio's statue of St. Peter, which is in St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. The toes here are not worn, as they are there, but it's the representation of Peter seated, holding the key, the keys to the kingdom, and holding his right hand extended with the two fingers and the halo above him.
Well, that is going to wrap up the visit to the Basilica of St. Joseph at Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Thanks for joining us on our visit there. Hope you got to see a little bit about what the Camerata family might be like. My children, well, let's just say they're my children, and a podcasting father can present somewhat of a hindrance. Just imagine walking around and you're with your kids, and you suddenly pull out a microphone and start talking to people. You will understand their reactions there during a large part of the podcasting. That poor Polish gentleman who helped me go around the Basilica and was all set to translate everything, and then, as you could tell, his command of the English language was not quite there for a real good polished translation. But gosh, he offered it the old college try. It was just very cool to be in that ethnic neighborhood there in Milwaukee and see this absolutely spectacular grand structure of a church. And I'll put the link to the website up on the show notes at saintcast.org and some of the pictures that I took while I was there as well. And as always, I welcome all of your feedback. Anything you want to send me. In fact, our next episode later this week is going to be an all feedback episode, I promise you. There will be perhaps some teasing of shows to come. I can think of a few things I could add in there, a little bit of Saint news, etc. But most of the show I'm going to devote to feedback, because I am so behind in playing your valued feedback that you've been sending me. It's something that we'll get to later this week. Well, perhaps you have seen a SaintCast mug at a coffee shop near you. Or a SaintCast mug around the water cooler. Well, I've been sending out quite a few SaintCast mugs, and if you send me a joke, a Saint joke that we'll use on the SaintCast, you too can have one of the great SaintCast mugs. Visit the Saint shop. The SaintCast shop that you see online at the saintcast.org website, and I'll try and put a link on the SQPN blog as well. Visit that shop and see what a great job Captain Jeff has done on those mugs. And if you send me a joke and I use it, I will give you one of those fine SaintCast mugs and maybe even a t-shirt or two. Especially if you call in with the great Saint Jeopardy answer. And we'll get to the previous Saint Jeopardy this coming Thursday. Going over again, we're at 36 minutes and counting, but it was good to be back, what can I say? And good to get into all of the saintly topics that we covered tonight. We have got a lot of great stuff coming up. I just can't wait to get to it. There aren't enough hours in the day, as I've said so many different times. A movie review coming up. More saints that we'll talk about, including a special interview with an Orthodox priest, and we'll talk about Eastern saints and how Catholics, Roman Catholics, should view Eastern saints or saints of the Orthodox faith. We have a soundseeing tour of a Carmelite monastery in Santa Clara, California, coming up. Very special in this week of the very special Carmelite saint, John of the Cross. Father Seraphim Bishoner of Catholic Under the Hood has sent us some cool audio of a visit to San Giovanni Rotondo. You know that as the home of Padre Pio, Saint Padre Pio. And I've got some more soundseeing tours in the can for my last Italian trip. One in particular I can think of is the visit to the Basilica at Pisa and the Leaning Tower at Pisa. You get to hear the echo from the baptistry and some other cool sights and sounds from Italy. Well, have you got what it takes to be a saint? Tune into the next SaintCast, and we will let the saints show us the way. Good night, everyone.
Made on
back. SQPN, the best in Catholic podcasting.